yeah, leading up to Ag One. We have a podcast Saturday, and then we have two podcasts Sunday.
Incredible.
Three podcasts Sunday, and then I think we have podcasts through the week too.
That'll be fun.
And then I do the Bridgestone deal. I'm at their booth on Tuesday.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm in town Monday, Tuesday, and excited to walk the show, connect with a lot of people. Tuesday, we'll meet with the NACO.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. They've been a great client for some time. Do something with them every year.
Probably
seems like
4 years of them, 5 years of them. Yeah. We just published a video of their coal haulers, which was exciting.
Yeah.
And then their drag lines, which was exciting. And every time we go out there, like their mines are my favorite mines to visit because their people are so friendly. Mm. So friendly. Everybody's like, come on down, do whatever you want. I mean, within reason.
Sure.
Just the kindest people in the world. And I've been their mines in Texas and North Dakota and Mississippi and in Florida. Everybody is amazing. Fantastic. Great company.
All different weather.
Yes. Yeah. Different weather, different mining, totally different places. Everybody's fantastic. Everybody. I've not had a single bad experience with that company. Is Clay coming down?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clay's coming. Jack's coming in. Chase is coming. So
I'm
pretty sure that we're going to have quite a few.
Yeah. So. I think if I'm not mistaken, it's the last Ag One in Nashville
before it moves.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you know where it goes next? Yeah. I don't know.
I've heard, but I don't remember.
Nashville, it's a great city to have events in. It's just very expensive.
Yeah.
Very expensive. And I think the convention center is not big enough too. I think that's a constraint.
Yeah.
It's not enough space.
I mean, it's 10,000 plus people that are coming in over the, for the event.
It's pretty substantial.
Well, yeah. With World of Asphalt and Ag One combining,
yeah.
It's just a lot of people from the industry. So
I view it all as the same thing.
Yeah.
I know they've split it up, but to me, it's all just a show with some paving stuff, with some aggregate stuff.
Well, I had people calling saying, do I register for World of Asphalt? Do I register for Ag One? Or how does this work? And it was kind of some confusion, but
yeah.
At the end of the day, I don't even know what to call it. World of Asphalt, Ag One.
Who owns World of Asphalt?
Good question. I know AEM is involved in some of the management side of it, but I think it's, I don't know. I don't know that it's NAPA.
No.
It's not.
Yeah. I don't know.
It might be just the show.
I think AEM organizes the whole thing.
100%.
Because I know I deal with them when dealing with the show.
Right.
I just don't know where World of Asphalt came from or Ag One or
I don't know either.
The, with Ag One, just before we get into other stuff, Ag One, I have a unique history with because it was my very first BuildWit related event when I started BuildWit. So I walk into Dan's office. I think it was like a Tuesday afternoon, if I'm not mistaken. Shut the door. I've got to get out of here Friday. I'm out. Like it was that definite. Nobody was changing my mind, and there wasn't time for 2 weeks because I think my rationale was, one, I just wanted to leave, but two, we were in between HCSS UGMs, their big user group meeting, and they at the time they had two. This year they combined them, and I had done one. I did not want to do the second one, so I was like, I need to get out of here before the second one. So I say, hey, I'm done Friday, and I go home. I pack all my shit up. Friday, I finish work. I go home. Everything was in the moving truck. That afternoon, after I got everything in the moving truck, I drove to Arizona starting that afternoon. I didn't stop till I got there. So I get there, you know, 5 a.m. the next morning, then get to my dad's house. His house was locked. It was like 4 a.m. in the morning. His house is locked. So I nap in the driveway while waiting for him to wake up to open the damn house so I could get in. But then I'm just the whole way with a smile on my face, leaving Houston, going back there, like, oh, thank God I'm out of there. And then not 2 weeks later, I'm headed back to Houston for Ag One and for this show because Turner Mining Group was going to be there.
Got it.
So Keaton said, you should come to Ag One. And so I went to Ag One. It was my friend who is a year younger, Kevin. It was his spring break. So he came with me for the week and we spent a week driving around Texas in my little Toyota, starting in West Texas and then worked our way down to Houston. We go to the show. That's where I met Dave Turnin.
Mm.
And then we stayed at Dan's house after.
Okay.
So slept in his house. And
that
then
all makes sense.
Booked it home the next day.
I'm starting to understand now why you don't like Houston.
It's just not my thing. I like where Dan and Kara are.
Yeah.
I think it's fine.
Perfect.
No problem at all.
Yeah. But 7 acres, middle of nowhere.
It's awesome. But like, it's just this sprawling metropolis is the only way I can explain it. It's just a giant piece of concrete.
Yeah.
Is how I see it. And I just, and I don't think I'm fair to the whole city. Like, obviously, sure, the whole city doesn't suck, but
of course,
where I was, not a fan.
Yeah.
The role I had wasn't right for me. So,
right.
That was that.
I'm excited to get to San Antonio, though. That's going to be a lot of fun. Well, the Riverwalk.
Everybody, yeah, for their Dirt World Summit last year, everybody's like, why'd you pick Houston? It's like, it was cheap and available. Those are the two criteria we had.
And Dan, who planned the event, lived there.
Yeah, Dan and Kara lived there.
And Kara, so easy travel.
Yeah, but cheap, available. Those were our criteria. And then this year is like, all right, let's look elsewhere. And San Antonio is going to be a treat, because anybody that hasn't done the Riverwalk in San Antonio, you do the Riverwalk in San Antonio, you're just like, this is gorgeous. Where am I? I'm in the middle of San Antonio. Like, I didn't know anything was here. And it's just spectacular. So to be right in town. Oh.
Well, and one thing I'm really excited about was the Dirt World Open being at, it's called the Quarry, which is the golf course. And it's built in an old quarry.
That's so cool.
It's owned by the guy who started Valero. So it's just going to be a really cool experience for everyone. So
there's a concert venue here in Middle Tennessee in a quarry.
Oh, that's cool.
But I think people go because it's in the aesthetic. You want to post a video. I was at this. What, do you know what it's called, Harrison? That venue that's in the quarry? Yeah, I don't know. You went to WorkBrow's Women in Construction event.
Yes, I did.
This past week.
Yes, I did.
How was that? How'd that even come to be?
Yeah. So WorkBrow decided that they wanted to do something with women in construction. And they started planning, you know, a summit or an event. And they partnered with Missy Schreiber, and Fudge. Sherber.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, I always get it wrong. Yeah. I don't know why I say that. Sherber. Aunt her. Missy Schreiber. Ann Fledger and Barbara Jackson. And they had three women on a panel. And the feedback they got from the three women on the panel was, we're not going to lead change unless we get men involved. And so they were trying to figure out who could we reach out to and invite to be a part of this event. And fortunate for me and us, they reached out to me and gave me a shot to be a part of the panel discussion. So therefore, I got to participate in the three-day event, which was a lot of fun. We showed up, we had a dinner, great conversation from Barb. She gave some high level at the dinner. Then we had a full day of education and training. We did a tour of the WorkBrow facility, and then the panel discussion. But, you know, for me, it was, I was nervous. It's, I've never participated in something like that before. Yeah. It's a very controversial topic at times, or at least for me. Don't want to say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. You want to represent, you know, the industry well. You want to represent BuildWit well. But as it turns out, you know, I could just go and be my authentic, genuine self. And, you know, I have a daughter who's 15, and I want her to be fifth generation coming into the industry. And that was kind of my motivation behind getting involved was, hey, our mission is to make the dirt world a better place. And what a better way to do that than to kind of lean in. And, you know, just with the workforce shortage that we have, you know, women, and they're not the only solution, but they're part of the solution. Mm-hmm. And one of the big things that, you know, I took away from the event was some things have to change in order for them to feel welcomed, for them to feel like they belong. And then there's just a lot of things you can't, it's not just like, hey, hire a woman and then let them go. There's a lot of things that we have to kind of think about and ways to support them. And I learned about the success of multiple women being on a crew and how they can support each other. So it was a fascinating experience. And I'm glad that I participated.
No, it's great. I think I've spent a lot of time trying to figure this whole thing out.
Yeah.
And the easy button is to just say, we need more women. That's it. Like, we just need more women. And right. Everybody's like, yeah, we need more women.
Right.
I don't think that's simple and that easy. One, I think there are some facts. I think the first fact is that there will always be more men than women in the trades.
Right.
And in construction.
Yeah.
It's just how it's going to be.
Yeah.
And I do not see that changing anytime soon.
Yeah.
And I don't see that to be bad.
And one of the lessons that I learned was, instead of calling it male dominated, they're saying it should be called male populated.
Yeah.
Because you're right. But it is heavily populated by men.
Yeah.
And it may always be heavily populated by men.
Well, I think it always will be.
Yeah.
Especially in the field. And there's just a component of building stuff that is hard work. And yeah, can women do it? Absolutely. I see it all the time. But is it a career better suited for men? Absolutely. Because men are bigger. Men are more physically suited for physical work. That's just how it is. Whereas like nursing, for example, women are naturally far more caring than men are. That's why it's largely women dominated. That's one reason for it.
Right.
Another reason for it, though, is typically nursing is on a 3-day week schedule, 3/12s. Yeah. And so when it comes to caretaking in the United States, I've looked up 80% of caretaking for children and elderly is performed by women.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're just going to, as an industry, say, well, we just need more women, but we're not going to change anything as an industry. No. We're going to keep the same schedule. We're not going to offer any kind of flexibility. We're going to require them to work weekends and nights like everybody else. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And so I think the realities are, will there always be more men than women? Yes. And I don't see that as a bad thing. Two, should there be more women? Absolutely. I think there should be. Absolutely. Three, the industry as it stands would unravel without women, because oftentimes they're the ones making sure shit gets done and making sure shit's together, especially in the office, especially in the office. You walk into most offices, they're oftentimes, if you look at the women in the construction right now, the majority are probably making sure paychecks go out every day, making sure permits are where they need to be, making sure equipment's where it needs to be. Like oftentimes, if you look at on a percentage basis where most women are in construction, they're in those roles, making sure shit gets done back in the office, which is essential to making anything work in the field. Sure, there are plenty of women in the field, but percentage basis, that's where most of them are. Finally, I think the last fact to consider is we, as an industry, the dirt world, it has to change. It has to instead say, we need more women. Ask, what do we need to change to bring more? Okay, if this is important to us, if women are part of the solution to helping us overcome this workforce challenge, what do we need to change?
It's what's interesting is like somebody had to make that decision as a leader to do all of that.
Yeah.
And that to me is what we're trying to do right now, is raise awareness and attention to, it takes leadership seeing this as an opportunity to identify what needs to happen, change, in order to make this part of the solution. Mm-hmm. It's not an easy button. It's not a plug and play. It's, you have to be very intentional. You have to set goals and objectives. You got to get really clear on the what and the why and how we're going to do this, and then make it happen. So to know that somebody's doing it, like Finning, is, it's possible.
Yeah.
And so now the question is, what other leaders are going to see this as possible, and what are they going to do to identify what needs to change in order to make that work?
Yeah.
And you know, something I remind people of often is, to your point that you were making earlier, is the $1 trillion industry. It's massive. We're all running businesses. Yeah, it's asphalt, it's concrete, it's mining, it's roads and bridges. There's a lot of things that we're doing, but we're all running businesses, and there are lots of them. So whether it's sales, marketing, IT, HR, the list goes on to those roles that you're talking about, leadership, ownership. There's a million places for people to, for women to be involved in the business. It's just figuring out what are the needs of the business, and within that, how do we make it so that they're successful in their roles?
Yeah, and yeah, it is a big industry. It's just such a you know, it's a complex issue because I'm just a white male. Like,
sure.
Yeah. So who the hell am I to talk about this? But it's like, I've met more women in construction than most people.
Yeah.
And I've met more women in the field in construction and mining than just about anybody. And they don't want any special treatment. They don't want any special credit. They've worked hard
right.
to just blend in. You just want to blend in. You don't want to stand out on a construction project. And that's just how it is. And they work hard, as hard, if not harder than anybody else, because it's like they've got to prove themselves. But you go on social media and you see a lot of these pictures these companies are putting out. And I view it as almost disrespectful to the women that are actually out there working because, well, you know, it's Women in Construction Week. So we need to grab some women from the office, but we can't post a picture of women in the office. So we need to get them out onto a construction site. It's like, just be honest. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if you don't have women in the field, you don't have women in the field. If you have women in the office, cool, celebrate them.
Yeah.
If you want women in the field, ask, what do you got to do to get women in the field?
Yeah.
If you do have women in the field, don't treat them differently. Like right. I
would just say that in general, you should be celebrating and recognizing people as leaders.
100%.
Period.
Yeah.
This week calls attention to, you know, it's their 26th celebration. 26 years ago, these conversations weren't happening.
No.
And so after 26 years of WIC Week, Women in Construction Week, and something I found fascinating was, you know, Women in Construction was actually started in 1953 in, I want to say it was Fort Worth, Texas, by 16 women. And to look at where they started with women in construction to now there's, you know, I think it's close to 11% or 1.2 million women that are working in construction. There's a lot of women that are working in construction now and that are a part of that statistic. So they've really come a long ways in a big way.
Yeah.
And I think the week is kind of to celebrate where they've been, where they're at, but also what it did for us is we're talking about it. And the one thing that I learned is, well, I learned several things this week, but one of the things I learned this week was they need white men like you and I talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only way that things are going to change is if people are talking about it.
Yeah.
If they're not talking about it, nothing changes.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I get that maybe like being incognito might be a safe place, getting uncomfortable and having these conversations is what's going to drive the real conversations that need to be happening. Like you calling out the attention to, we need to change the tooling and we need to change the shifts and we need to change, you know, some of these things to make it more better for women to be a part of the solution. So it's definitely, it's not been solved, but I do think talking about it and being engaged and learning and growing is definitely something that's going to help us move in the right direction.
Oh, and like you said too, it's a big industry. That's where the college, no college conversation, it's just, I think it's stupid. It's like, you don't need to go to college. Don't go to college. You can run a $200 million company in construction without a degree.
Yeah.
You can run equipment for 50 years without a degree. If you want to go to college, go to college.
Right.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Just end up in construction.
Yeah.
And even if you don't go get a construction management degree, you can still end up in construction.
Absolutely.
Oh, you want to be a lawyer? You can be a lawyer in construction. You want to be an engineer? You want to be an accountant? You want to be a leader of any kind? Like, there's all sorts of opportunities here that you can be a part of. Degree, no degree. It's like, why are we making it? Why are we trying to make it binary? Like, it's this or that. No, that's not how any of this works. It's all gray. All of it
yeah.
is gray. And so, yeah, I just try to come at it from that perspective. It's like, I have realized I do need to show women in the industry because that indicates to other women, hey, this is a possibility for me.
Right.
That's important. But at the same time, I want to do it in a respectful manner. I want to do it naturally. I don't just want to be going out of my way.
Yeah.
One day a year, 1 week a year to say, yep. Signal like, yeah, I support women in construction or women in the workplace, and then just go about my business and change nothing after that.
One thing that was interesting I talked to Missy about was I said, I have no clue what I'm doing. I'm participating this week and I'm scared and excited.
Yeah.
Help guide me. And so, you know, it's like working with Kara or working with Nikki or working with other women. It's like, I just have conversations. And so I do think that like leaning in to that and saying, you know, how can we better show women in construction, whether it's office or field? And I also want to sit here and I'm trying to think through like, okay, Aaron's going out to a job site. You can only shoot what's available.
Yeah. I'm just a mirror.
So with it being male populated, if you show up, you can only capture what's available. But I don't know how often you go into the office to shoot. And so maybe that's not your specialty.
Office is not my specialty. I'm more a field. But no, I the whole thing would unravel without women in construction.
Something that is very interesting to me is like the Dirt World Summit. We focus around like leadership and workforce development. And the reason I lean into leadership is leaders are responsible for values of the business, the culture, the standards, the boundaries, the expectations of their people. And I got to say that, you know, out in the field for those women that are out there, you know, I still hear of women that are struggling.
100%.
That they're not treated great, or there's things that are said that are inappropriate and shouldn't be said. And so, you know, it's those are some things that we can care for the people that are in construction well. And I believe that those women, if they're cared for at the highest of levels and there's a place that they're respected and supported, more than likely they're going to tell other women and recruit other women to come into those environments. And so instead of focusing 100% on just the, you know, attracting, it's also let's take care of what we have and let's up our leadership. Let's up our level of care and ultimately create these places that women want to be.
Yeah. No, and I still don't really know how to verbalize all of my thoughts on the subject. And it's something I'm really passionate about too. And I get frustrated with how I feel like the Women in Construction Week's been skewed.
Yeah.
Because now I feel like it's almost being like forced. And when things are forced, they're rejected, especially by a workforce like construction. Mm-hmm. And so I've had this conversation with many people on our team. Like, cool. Yeah. That's what you believe. That's where you think the world should be. But if you go tell these people, this is where you need to be, they're going to tell you to go fuck yourself. You're going to create zero change.
Yeah.
Zero change.
Right.
First, you have to go to where they are. You have to meet them where they are. And then you have to understand where they are. And then maybe you establish that level of influence and you can bring them along a little bit. Hey, let's come along. But now that it's being almost pushed more and more and more, this year, I saw it rejected more and more and more. People speaking out against, hey, we're sick of seeing this signaling and like, this isn't even real. This isn't the reality. So stop forcing it upon me, whether that's right or wrong.
Sure.
That's the temperature out in the field right now.
Yeah.
Is, hey, like, I don't think any of us are going to sit here and be like, no, women are bad. Like, I don't think I don't think anybody would say that.
Right.
And yeah, are there some shitbags out there? Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Totally. The cultural problem. For sure. For sure. But to address it, to actually create lasting change, you have to understand where people are, and then you have to bring them along with you. And that has been true since the beginning of time. And so I'm really trying to understand where people, I mean, like someone I have in my head right now, young guy, great, great guy. Would never say like, no, we need women in construction. He has sisters that work at his business,
right?
Work hard as anybody else. Plenty of women that work at the business.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be where he is without women in construction. But he made a post the other day. He's like, I'm just sick of seeing all this because it's all just bullshit. And it's like, if you're a woman, you want to work in construction, come on down. We'll make room for you. We'll take care of you. We expect you to work like anybody else. Do it. If you don't want to be here, don't be here. And it's like, again, right or wrong, I think that's representative of the temperature. And so again, it's like, I'm just trying to find where that line is. How do I draw more women into construction to address the workforce challenge?
Right.
And I also see, like, people, you know, oh, we don't need all these people coming into construction because it's going to fuck it up, this and that. I'm like, hey, those that are out in the field are the ones that are going to hurt the most as this workforce deal gets tighter and tighter. You're going to be the one working more hours. You're going to be the one away from your family more. You're going to be the one that'll suffer first. And so we have to draw people in.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we push too hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's rejected. Yeah. And it's all for nothing.
My only thought is it's an opportunity to bring people in. Opportunity to bring them in. They're problem solvers. I'm not sure I can sit around the table and solve the problem alone.
No.
But if we bring women into the conversation, I think there's a stronger chance of solving some of the issues. One, you're going to know what are the issues, what needs to change, what are the possibilities. I would bet on women moving forward that there is a place for them within organizations to help add value. And just given, you know, kind of where we are with the natural attrition is happening in the field and it's happening in the office.
Yeah.
And so there's definitely room and a place for them. But I hear what you're saying. Like, we have to be careful. Our words have weight. We don't want to cause problems necessarily.
I could not support all of this more.
Yeah.
I could not support it more.
Right.
But just pretending it's black and white is so naive and so foolish,
right,
and will achieve the opposite. And that's what's frustrating in a lot of ways is I see the opposite happening. And it's like, hey, we can't afford for the opposite to happen. And so the opposite's happening. Well, do we sit here and just blame the existing workforce? Well, it's just all these men out in the field. They're just closed-minded. You know, these damn construction, they've just been around forever, these crusty guys. They just won't get out of the way. And we could sit here and be right all day long and create no change.
Right.
Like, right. Being right
doesn't
actually do anything. And so what I'm interested in is creating real lasting change. Do I have the answer on how to do that? Oh, no, I don't. But that's where I'm trying to think right now. That's where I'm trying to be. I think that's where BuildWit needs to be, is we can't push too much with anything. We can't ever act like we're the smart ones, that we know better. We can't ever act like it's about us, because the moment we do, we're out, we're done, gone. And I think this is like just one part of that conversation. And you've probably seen it too. It's just like things are just rejected. It's like, hey, this is for everybody's benefit. Like, everybody wins if there's more people in the industry. Everybody wins if there's more women here. Like, why is this challenge? And again, we can sit here and like blame people all day long, or we can actually ask ourselves, how do we understand better? And how do we actually create this change? How do we actually communicate this with leaders? Like, that's why I shared that story at the workshop. Because again, I could sit up there and say, yeah, we need more women in construction, and everybody's going to cheer.
Yeah.
And then everybody's going to walk out that room and nothing's going to happen.
Right.
Or I can share a story about, honestly, the one application I've seen that's been remarkably successful at scale.
Right.
Here's how they did it.
Yeah.
So if you're serious about this, here's a blueprint. I don't know if this is your blueprint, but here's a blueprint. But it's on you. It's not on anybody else. And talking about it, it only goes so far. And so, yeah, I'm happy we're talking about it. But it's like, at the same time, the problem only gets worse every year.
True. And, you know, I will say that by participating in events like the Women in Construction Summit is a chance to learn and grow. It's a chance to have a seat at the table. It's a chance to listen, to learn, to understand kind of what's going on out there. Also excited to have Jorge Quesada at the summit leading a DEI, you know, workshop and talking about, you know, bringing in his expertise. And I think that that's the thing is like we attract experts in all of these areas and we work with so many incredible organizations that it's not about us telling the industry what to do. It's about us bringing the right people together and putting them, you know, on the stage to talk about the challenges that are out there in our industry and potential solutions, you know, to start solving some of these problems.
I think like, yeah, DE&I is another one that
opened up another can,
but it's the same thing. It's like, and I talked to Jorge about this. I had a great conversation with Jorge about this.
Okay.
And I want to have him on the podcast to have this conversation.
Yeah.
Because if you just say, like, even his position, someone were to look at his title, wouldn't be popular on a job site.
Chief and inclusionist.
Just everybody on a job site is like, bro, no, we're good. Like, you can just stay over there.
Right.
We're just going to stay over here and we're just going to do our jobs. But when you, because I think like even diversity has just been hijacked. But I think if you look at the definition of diversity and diversity in thought, it's approaching the same problem from different perspectives.
Right.
I think that's the benefit of having men and women. Like if BuildWit was just men,
we'd be in trouble.
We wouldn't even be in trouble. Yeah. Nothing would exist.
Yeah.
Like you have to have different perspectives. And I genuinely, after working alongside women for within this business for as long as I have, it's like there's a different perspective. They look at things one way. Men look at things one way. And again, it's not black and white.
Right.
You know, some it's all kinds of gray. But it's like sometimes, I mean, I'm sure anybody in a relationship can, it's like sometimes you're having a conversation and you're like, we're having two different conversations right now. Like, we're in the same conversation, but it's like, we're not in the same conversation. Like, what's going on here?
Mars and Venus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But bringing, and it's not just male, female, it's bringing different people in from different places that were raised by different parents, that are from different economic situations, that just had to do different things as a kid, had different struggles, have different life experience, have different families, present day work experience. You bring different perspectives together to look at the same problem from totally different viewpoints.
Right.
And then you can really create some significant change. Significant difference, and everybody wins. Everybody's better off. And so I think on a construction project, like I think a lot of times construction is too super guilty of looking at things one way. It's this way. We've done it this way for the past 40 years. It's worked. We're just going to do it this way. But if you have true diversity in thought and opinion, if you have true diversity at your business, someone might, hey, you know, have we ever looked at it from this direction? And then you can't just have diversity. You have to have a culture in which they can actually say that. And then it can actually be heard on the other side. And then there can be a discussion rather than, no, that's stupid. Go fuck yourself.
Right.
Which would probably happen on most job sites right now.
Sure.
That is a winning formula. That's fantastic. And that's what I've, especially here at this business, that's what I want to strive for. I want different perspectives, different view. I want true diversity. I don't want the DE&I. I don't want, and it's, you can just look at the data. It's been proven to be so almost disastrous in a lot of ways. And it hurts those it's trying to help far more, which is the data on it in corporations is wild how detrimental it started to become. But diversity, I want diversity all day long.
Yeah.
I want men, I want women. Again, I want everybody from all different areas, perspectives, because the more we can do that, and then the more we can create a culture in which, what is your viewpoint on this?
Right.
What are your thoughts? And then we can listen. We can have a conversation like this that's open, that's honest.
Right.
That's not, you know, pitter-pattering around, well, you know, what should I say about women? Oh, yeah, women in construction. And then everybody's like, yeah. But that's not a real con. Is that creating any change? Is that solving any problems? No. And so that's at least my viewpoint on that subject. I want diversity all day long.
Right.
I don't want DE&I.
Yeah.
Is how I put it.
Yep. I love it.
So I don't know. I don't know how any of that's going to be received, but that I could not be more. I could not be more honest.
Yeah. No. At the end of the day, I think, you know, engaging in these conversations, engaging in opportunities, meeting new people, learning new things, figuring it out is something that, you know, we can be a part of. I'm glad that you're studying it. It's the first time I've leaned in. I've kind of watched from the sidelines for a number of years as the events or, you know, the weeks go by and whatnot, because it was a safe thing to do.
Yeah.
It's just like, don't get involved.
That's it. It's so much easier.
It's so like, much easier. Just kind of hands off. Yeah. I'm not even going to participate.
Yeah.
And I did not. I was like, I was scared to. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to lean in. I'm going to go and learn. I start having the conversations. And one thing that you've done to kind of help set me free, and I talk about it a lot, because I got into protect and defend after years of corporate. I love that you're always learning and you're naturally curious and you can take a stance today. But if you learn something new tomorrow, you're more than happy to take a new stance. And it's freeing. And I think that too much of the world is, well, I said this last week, so I got to bear down and I'm going to stick to what I said last week. But if you learn something new and you have a new thought or a new idea, like you have permission to learn and grow, to advance in your thinking. And the only way that you're going to do that is by being engaged and being involved and having a seat at the table. And so I appreciate the fact that you're always curious and learning and willing to take a new stance as you learn and grow.
Yeah, I appreciate that. No, and I think it's low IQ to make fun of somebody or well, you said this 4 years ago.
Right.
Well, I did say that 4 years ago. And now I'm saying I learned a lot in the past 4 years. I was wrong. And I believe the opposite right now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be criticized for it. It's like you criticizing me is showing that, oh, you can't get out of your own way. You can't do this.
Right.
You're just married to your beliefs. Your beliefs are you. You've made your beliefs your personality, your identity. That's a terrible place to be.
Yeah.
The best way, I heard John Mackey talk about this. He's like, my thoughts, my beliefs are like clothes. You know, I try them on. I see how they fit. If they fit well, I wear them around a while. But, you know, like your wardrobe. It's like, man, I've had this shirt around for a while. I'm gonna get rid of it. I'm going to get a new shirt. And I just go through life. You know, hey, they're just ideas, thoughts, beliefs. They're just like clothes. I try them on, see what fits. Hold on to some more than others. Hold on to some a long time. Get rid of some pretty quick.
Yeah.
And just go down the road. It's like, yep, that's exactly it.
And as our leader, it's allowed me to follow, which is great. And I hope that in the industry that more leaders will try on new clothes.
Yeah.
Because they've been wearing the same clothes for a long time.
There's a lot of
time for a new hoodie.
Like gray. No. It's like gray sport coats. True. A lot of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm really happy you were able to go to that event. Represent Build It at an event like that. I'm really happy they had somebody like you at that event. Because if it's just like, I'm just going to build the girls club over here.
Right.
It's like, again, that doesn't, it's like, okay, maybe you create some change, but that, let's go look at the profile of almost every owner in the construction industry.
Yeah.
Probably an older white guy. Not saying you're an older white guy.
No, I get it.
But it's like, we got to invite everybody to the table here to have this discussion. And I think that's savvy on their part.
Right.
Because I think that creates real change. And I'm glad you were able to be a part of that.
So yeah, really excited to represent BuildWit at that event. But also appreciate others who have gotten involved in NAWIC and WIC Week and, you know, whatnot. We hosted an event here, which was really cool.
100%.
So it's neat to see those. I think they said 66 women came to the BuildWit office and kind of learned about who we are and what we do. And I'm honored to represent BuildWit and open for discussion.
Yeah. No, likewise, I'm 100% open to discussion. I'm 100% willing to be completely wrong. It's just, you know, based on spending the past 6 years studying this subject, these are my current beliefs. And I'm still trying to figure out what I even believe and how to talk about it.
Yeah. Good.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. And we will see you on the next episode.